Welcome back to the Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone. I'm your host, Ravi Lula. George just had something happen. What happened, George?
Yeah, so both NBA guys, and we will get to the NBA at some point today, but Bleacher Report just told me that Kevin Love has chosen a destination that he'd like to go.
Where is that?
He wants to go home. He wants to go to Portland.
Oh. How are they going to make that money? Are they going to, what, are they going to give him Whiteside? They're going to give him the expiring?
I'd give him Whiteside. Not like he's doing it. Oh, he's averaging a double-double right now.
Yeah, but he's more headache than he's worth.
Exactly. And like you said, expiring
he's
contract.
He's expiring. They get rid of K-Love's money.
K-Love's got, what, 2 more years on this contract?
At least. He signed an extension, I think. Didn't he sign an extension the year that LeBron left?
Yes.
So he's got, this is his second year. So did he sign a 4 or 5?
I don't think it was five.
He's got at least 2 years left.
Yeah, he's got at least 2 years.
So not including this year. He's got 2 after this year.
Yes.
So if Cleveland's trying to move that money off their books, they can get Whiteside and he's expiring this year.
Could you start Melo and Love?
You can barely start Melo, man. Come on, man. Don't come at me with...
Well, let's be honest. Portland needs it.
No, they need good basketball players. They don't need Melo.
I can't wait to talk NBA.
Come on, man. Well, let's do it now. We got a little time. Let's get into it now.
All right.
Because Melo, I don't care what he's putting up in... I don't care what he's doing in Portland right now. He's washed. I don't know what to tell you. He's washed.
You're not on board with Melo.
No, I've never... Listen.
Never?
Not never. So here's...
Okay.
He had a time in his life where he was a very good, very efficient scorer. That time is long gone. I'd say we're at least 4 years past that. And I'm looking at, let's see, his last, he started falling off the cliff around 2016. Okay. That's, you know, I'm going to call it 2015. Okay. That's where we start going from the mid-40s field goal percentage to the low 40s. And that's kind of where we've been living ever since. And, you know, listen, he's from a different time, right?
Yeah, yes.
He would have fit in really well if his career had started 5 years earlier and he would have been squarely in that isolation ball era of basketball.
With like the Tracy McGrady's?
Yes.
Gotcha.
If he had say his career started in like 90, like post lockout, he starts in 99.
Uh-huh.
And then he runs his career through 2013. He has a fine career. We remember him the same way we remember like a Tracy McGrady. Heck, if he gets a little luck, we might remember him as the just, you know, not quite as good a version of Kobe. He's from a different era of basketball.
Yes.
And his game has aged poorly in the current era of basketball. Not only aesthetically, but also just in the numbers.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about practice Melo. I don't know if he absolutely just needs a hood. But, like, hoodie Melo, and, like, you see all the highlights, he's making shots left and right, but then he gets into the game. And
yeah, you see the highlights, so how many shots does he miss that you don't see?
That's what I'm wondering.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I need to go to that. I'm telling you, I need to get in that gym.
The other thing is, listen, most of those guys, when they're playing pickup ball, they're working on their offensive game, right? Mm-hmm. He's not getting locked up like you do in the NBA. All right? If somebody really wants to stop you, I know everybody's like, oh, the NBA, nobody plays defense or anything like that. First of all, that's just wrong. That's not true. Right. There was a time where that was accurate. That time has long gone. Okay? This isn't where, like, these people take their job seriously. And listen, are there nights against certain teams where you're not facing elite defense? Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But on a night-in, night-out basis, to think that the defense in a pickup game in some gym over the summer is even remotely in the same neighborhood as an NBA defense where they're scouting you and doing all this stuff,
mm-hmm.
even if it's the exact same players, you might be playing against NBA-quality players in the pickup game.
Right.
But they're not playing NBA-quality defense in the pickup game.
Yeah, there's no coaches.
There's no coaches. There's no scouting reports. There's no motivation to put it on the line like that.
Hey, but they're double teaming now.
I mean, okay.
Shout out to Devin Booker.
Get out, Devin Booker. I got another thing for Devin Booker.
What's your beef with Book?
Win a game, man.
It's his fault he's in Phoenix?
It's his fault he keeps staying in Phoenix?
I mean, like, dude put up a 70-point game and lost.
One. Yes. And lost.
That's not his fault.
It's a little his fault.
How is that a little his fault? How is that remotely his fault?
Listen, so Phoenix is mostly just a dumpster fire in terms of management and ownership and all that, so it's mostly not his fault.
Thank you. Okay.
But I don't think he... It doesn't seem like he minds that much.
I think,
just the vibe that I get. Now Jacob Padilla is going to blow me up because he's a Suns fan and he's gonna kill me for this.
Yeah, Jacob, please blow him up.
But hey, don't do that. And I'm purely ascribing motivation to a person that I've never met and that I've only seen on TV.
Okay.
It seemed like the getting to 70 meant more than him than getting a W.
But he had to work. He's sitting up there. He's trying to win the game, trying to get to 70.
Is he though? Because I think he was trying to get to 70 more than he was trying to win the game.
Why can't he do both?
Nope. He didn't do both. That's why he can't do both.
He could have been like, okay, like I need to win this game. Like he needed those points. Nobody else was doing anything.
Listen,
that's in the past though. The Suns are having a.
They're a little better this year.
Yes.
Although they have slid quite a bit since having a pretty good start.
Oh, yeah. Well, we knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, there's a regression to the mean there. I like some of the players on the team. Listen, Devin Booker is just not the example you want to throw at me for that specific situation. Because he's got a lot of the same things that people have always said about Melo. Yeah, he's going to put up great points. He's going to put up 30 points a game. He's never going to win anything. That's the Melo argument, right?
I mean, yeah.
And it's not wrong.
No, it's not.
He made it to precisely one conference finals his entire career?
Yes, because New York never made it.
New York never made it. They had a nice little team in 2013, but never made it to conference finals. He made the one conference finals with Denver. I'm not a Melo guy. I don't even know why we're talking about Melo. I didn't. That's not the NBA I wanted to even talk about.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit before this, and you said you had some Pacer comments, and I'm very interested.
So
and there's a local spin on this for those who are trying to tune out of our NBA conversation. Shout out to Doug.
That's my question. Why won't your boys give Doug the rock more?
What? How much more does he need the rock?
Always.
Oh no.
Always.
No. No.
Listen. I'm gonna look up some stats for you real quick here.
Okay? First off, I'll say this. Doug is having his best season this year.
Yes.
Especially
lately where they finally given him the ball.
There were, and I actually read an article.
I think I read the same article. They're kind of playing the hot hand thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And a lot of times that's Doug.
Yes.
And it would be Doug Moore if you gave him the freaking ball.
Well, and let's be honest. If he's coming off screens from Sabonis, who is, I'd say, probably one of the best screeners in the NBA. If he's coming off screens and he's being aggressive, and even if he's missing shots, you have to game plan against that. So what does that do? That opens up everybody else. So
it's the gravity. He pulls the gravity of the defense because of his shooting.
Exactly.
So here's the stat I want to throw at you.
Okay.
It's real simple. He's shooting 47% from three this year.
Which is great.
Which means give him the ball more.
How much more? Dude, he's got double figures his last, what, three games?
Four, I think.
Okay, four games. I think he hit double figures last night. So,
he did. He hit
all
last
right,
night.
So his last four games.
Yeah.
But how much more do you... He's staying out there. He's getting his minutes.
He did. He played 30 minutes last night, which I think is a season high.
Yes.
Which, well, I appreciate.
Like I'm saying, what more do you... last
night to be his role on the Pacers. 30 minutes a night, like 10, 12 shots.
Okay.
And he's going to shoot 47% from the field. Who's mad about that? That's a win for everybody.
So how much of this falls on Doug? Being super aggressive? Because I remember talking to Nick Baugh about this, and we both agreed that Doug McDermott can do more than just shoot.
Yes.
He can do more than just shoot, and he shows spurs of that. And I don't know why it's such a big deal when he dunks the ball. I was like, that's in his game.
It is, but it's part of the reason it's such a big deal that he dunks the ball is because he until his senior year, he did it like twice at Creighton, and then his senior year, he's like, "Oh, people don't think I'm athletic enough," so he started dunking on people.
So that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so it's kind of just like the "I'm not just the white guy, like I'm going to dunk on you,"
right?
Type thing. But in his last four games, he's in double figures. He has shot just the living bejesus out of the ball. He is. I'm going to do some quick math here, and by quick, I mean not that quick. He's made, let's see, 12 of 19 threes in those four games. So that's pretty good. That's well above 50%. He's shooting above 60% in those games from the field. Like, he's balling out a little bit right now.
And you know what? And he is. And
But what I'm saying is, so sometimes he's balling out despite the fact. So these are his game minutes. Going back, 17, 16, 14 and a half, 18, 20, 18, 15, 19, 30. I need him above that 20-minute mark every night.
You know how deep the Pacers are?
How many guys on the team are shooting 47% from three, George? I'm going to guess just the McBucket.
I'm with you there. But so here's me. A lot of people think he can play the four. I think he gets killed at the four. I'm not a Doug McDermott at the four guy. I think defensively it's a huge liability. No matter who he's guarding at the four position, even if a team is going small, I don't see Doug as a four. He's at the three, and then so he's backing up T.J. Warren.
I'd have to watch a little more closely.
Yeah.
To comment on the defensive of it, my thought is, if he's getting killed at the four, there's something within that team scheme defense that's not working right.
It's not him?
No.
So we're saying Doug McDermott's got the defensive ability to guard fours in this league?
I'm saying he has the knowledge, and we just said he's a better athlete than people give him credit for.
I agree.
I think he's got the knowledge of defense, and he's got the minimum level of athleticism required to be a good defender in a good team system.
Here's what I'll say. The only thing that would save him is Miles Turner in his back pocket. That's pretty much it.
Well, I mean, that's what saves like 90% of the league defensively is having a rim protector.
It saves the Indiana Pacers defensively.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, most people in the league only survive as a defender if they have a rim protector.
Yes, I'll agree with that.
I mean, that's just what it is.
I'll agree with that.
I mean, you want to come at me with like Donovan Mitchell and stuff? Is like, you know why he doesn't get burned? It's because he's got Rudy Gobert standing back there.
Oh, yeah. And if he gets burnt, they already know what's behind
You know
him.
Why Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum can't win a playoff series? Because they haven't had rim protector.
Would you stop? They won two last year.
Yeah, then what happened?
They ran up against the Golden State Warriors.
They got swept with like half of the Golden State Warriors.
Okay. They beat a damn good Nuggets team to get there.
They did. I'll give you credit there.
Yeah.
But there's a reason that a backcourt with that offensive ability has been limited in terms of their postseason success. Because that was their best run.
Yes.
And a lot of times they're getting bounced like by New Orleans in the first round. They're taking some early exits.
Yeah, agreed.
Because neither of those guys has a rim protector, and neither one of them are Klay Thompson or Kawhi Leonard defensively.
So I hate to go back to Portland on this, but Say they do get Kevin Love, and they're willing to...
I mean, he's not a rim protector.
And that's what I'm saying. So, and they're willing to give up Hassan Whiteside, who would be considered, at least for them, their best rim protector.
When he's paying attention.
When he's paying attention.
Yeah.
Is that worth it? Is it worth it to get Kevin Love and get rid of probably your best rim protector?
I think it's worth it to get Hassan Whiteside off of your team. Just always. Just always worth it.
Any move that can get Hassan Whiteside off the
team. Win. That's a win.
Okay, but here's what we can agree on.
Yeah.
I agree with Doug McDermott. I get excited when he's on a court. I get excited when not only he catches the ball off of a screen, but then he's willing to put the ball on the floor and drive.
Because if he can get that pump fake, he can get by people.
Yes. And he can get by people, and he's going strong. And that's what I like about Doug.
He's decisive.
He's
not trying to wiggle on anybody. If he gives you that pump fake, he's getting to the rim.
He's getting to the rim,
yeah.
And he's going up strong. And then he's also starting to make the smart passes as well.
Yeah, if he doesn't get to the rim, he's not going to force it.
Yes.
Listen, he's a good basketball player. I need him to get 20 solid minutes a game.
Here's what I'm afraid, though. When Victor Oladipo comes back, does it cut into the minutes of Doug?
I think it cuts into the minutes of T.J. Warren more than Doug.
Because T.J. Warren's still going to start.
He is, but Warren and Oladipo have more of the same role on that team in terms of wing scorer.
Yes.
And I think that affects Doug less. Now, it might affect the shots that Doug gets. I don't think it should affect the minutes that Doug gets.
Because Jeremy Lamb will move to the bench.
I don't think Jeremy Lamb's good. I'm out on Jeremy Lamb. Can I just say that? You know what they should do, honestly? They should play Oladipo at point guard.
No, Malcolm Brogdon.
Listen. Here's the four. You should have these four guys on the floor together.
Okay.
You should have Brogdon, Oladipo, T.J. Warren, Doug McDermott on the floor together.
That means McDermott has to play the four.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
No. He's going to.
Nobody on that roster is like a lockdown defender at four.
No.
So you might as well put the guy in there shooting 47% from three.
I'd rather have Sabonis at a four.
Sabonis is not a four. Get out of here.
Sabonis, he's playing the four right now.
Yeah, that's bad. Sabonis is a five.
It's not bad.
Sabonis is a five.
If Sabonis is playing with Miles Turner, it's not that bad.
You can't play those two together.
Why not?
Because this is 2019.
Okay.
This ain't 1998 where you're rolling out 2 7-footers.
You've got 2 7-footers that can pick and pop. It's not. Sabonis lives in the paint. I agree.
Ish.
He lives in the paint, but he can pop. He can pop with a 15. Leave him open for 15. He's shooting that.
I will leave him over 15 all day.
He's shooting that.
Oh, yeah.
Over 50% he's shooting that.
Melo shooting it too. Melo shooting all of them.
But right. Miles Turner, you have to guard that dude outside the three-point shot. He's proven it this year.
Okay, but there's a difference between Miles Turner, who will pop from 15, and that's all he's doing from 15 feet. If he catches the ball 15 feet, I put up a high hand, I'll take my chances.
Okay.
Whereas, if you pick and pop with Doug at the four, say you're running a pick and roll with Doug at the four, he can either pop and get that three-point shot.
Yeah.
First of all, 15-footer, about the worst shot in the game, okay? You can have all of those you want. Keep them.
They add up, man.
Adds faster? 25-footers.
which Miles Turner's at, and that's why you're able to play Miles Turner and Sabonis at the same spot.
You should not play them at the same time.
I disagree. I could not disagree more.
That's fine. You're welcome to be wrong, Jordan.
I could not disagree more.
You need to stagger the minutes of Sabonis and Miles Turner at the five, and then stagger the minutes of McDermott and Sabonis at the four. So you'll have a little bit of overlap where you have a big lineup of Miles Turner and Sabonis playing 4-5, but most of the time you will have either Turner or Sabonis at the five, and then McDermott or Sabonis at the four.
Are you putting McDermott in a starting lineup?
No, I'm putting him in for 20 to 25 minutes a game.
Well, because we're saying that Sabonis and Miles Turner can't. You're saying that Sabonis.
I'm saying they should not play together. No.
So by process of elimination, Doug McDermott has to start.
I mean, you said it, not me.
Is it break time?
Listen, he shoots 47% from three, George.
And he deserves more minutes, just not at the four.
That's. Wrong.
Not at the four.
Wrong.
He's getting barbecued at the four.
By who? Who's barbecuing him at the four?
Anybody in the league that's playing at the four.
I need examples.
Who played last night? who started at the four last night for the Clippers?
Clippers.
I don't know who starts on a regular basis at the four.
How dare
you? Is that bad?
Yeah, how dare you?
I mean, do you know who starts at the four for the Clippers? As you're asking Google?
I think Paul George. Is he technically the four there?
No, he's...
I think he's technically the four there.
Well, Kawhi didn't play last night, so...
Well, okay, but I think Paul George, because you got... Oh, it's Patrick Patterson. I guess Patrick Patterson, he's the four, right?
Oh, I didn't know he was starting.
He was 1 for 5.
I didn't know he was starting.
He had 1 steal, 0 rebounds.
All right.
So, did not get roasted.
All right, that's a very bad example.
Doug did not get roasted. I'm saying you say he got roasted by everybody. You say he got roasted by everybody, George.
Patrick Patterson is.
George, you say he got roasted by everybody of the four. You're telling me everybody of the four.
Patrick Patterson is a really bad example.
I asked for an example, and you said everybody.
That's a really bad example. Well, no.
You said everybody.
All right. He can give Patrick Patterson the business. I can tell you that much. Doug can give Pat Patterson the business.
And he did.
I'm not going to disrespect that.
And let's go to the game before that, the Knicks, who have 15
not talking about the New York Knicks.
No, okay, all right.
Wait. No, we can talk about the Knicks.
You want to talk about?
Pick a forward on that team that Doug McDermott could like go up against. Real.
So who do you want to?
Do they have Marcus or Markieff?
I don't know. Is it not the same guy? I'm just kidding. They have Marcus.
They have Marcus? Okay, that's a better one.
So I don't think he was guarding Marcus, though. I think he was guarding Randall.
Julius?
Yeah, wasn't he guarding Julius?
If Doug McDermott is guarding Julius Randall, and I'm the New York Knicks, I don't...
I think Julius Randall thought the same thing. You want to know what he did? What did
he do?
6 for 18.
Oh, that's because he puts up bad shots.
Oh, so it's Julius Randle's fault now. Oh, but I thought Doug got roasted by everybody, George. Taking a break.
I want to know how much, you know what, I got to look at how much Doug guarded Julius Randle in that game.
I don't know. I said he guarded him the whole game. I just made that up. But we're taking it as fact. You're listening to the Gary Sharp Show here on 1620 The Zone.